I really haven't given much thought to this. I thought what I'd like to do was just see how the day developed and just see how the day affected me and what am I going to do about it. Like I said to you before, I think it's sometimes hard for us to see people as Jesus saw them. Jesus did see people as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them scattered. He saw them in love. It doesn't matter whether it was the Cronulla riots, where you've got a whole lot of Anglo-Saxons beating up Lebanese people. I'm sure Jesus saw that. He saw it, and all he saw was just these scattered sheep, lost without a shepherd, with no one to show them the way of life. And there's a nice little story out of Mark 8. We won't turn to it, but there's a story where Jesus comes across a blind man and he touches him, and the blind man partially sees. He can just see men, but they look like trees. It's a curious story because it seems like Jesus had to attempt to do it twice, do the miracle twice, and we know that's not true. Jesus didn't have to do the miracle twice. He didn't have to say, well, how did that work? Not very well? Give it another go. There was a point to it. There was a point to the whole process. And I think he touched him the second time, but on the second touch, I think this man saw men as Jesus saw them. You see, if you can't tell the difference between men and trees, you're really not much good to God. You treat trees like objects. Trees are there to cut down, put in your fire, burn, keep warm with, or to get under when you're hot, get the coolness. But they're all for, they're for you. You just use them. Jesus came as a servant. And if you don't see men as people to serve, then you don't understand your relationship with them. We're servants in this world. We come following the chief servant. There'll come a day when Jesus will come as King of the world, but he came the first time as a servant, and you and I walk in his steps as servants. So that's the first thing I'd like to say out of today. I would like to say, particularly from the things we've seen and we've talked about, I'd like to say that I want to change the way I look at people. I think the second thing is I would like to support the work that I know I can support. There are lots of things in CCM. CCM, I'm sure for all of you, is not your only Christian commitment. It's not my only Christian commitment. I certainly try to work with the GPL as well, and I try to work with the Sunday schools in this place and Bringer. I know Mark is very involved in the coffee shop. There's lots of things that we're all doing. It doesn't matter what the label is. It's something which we all commit ourselves to work as hard as we can. But there's something else I want to talk about. And I'm going to give you something really personal tonight. I'm going to give you my commitment. I don't know whether it will affect you. And you might look at it and say, well, that's okay for you, John, but not for me. We run a coffee shop here once a month. I've asked a couple of people to come. One came. But, you know, when I go up to my local shopping centre and I walk into Baker's Delight, I haven't got a clue who I am. I just get my bread and I walk out. I go to the patisserie next door. They know I'm a Christian because there's a Christadelphian lady working there. I go to Video Easy and get a DVD for the boys, and all I do is look at me as that guy that gets kids' videos. I go to my pharmacist. I think I've paid for half his BMW by now. I go to my pharmacist. They just know all the drugs I'm on. What, are you in some more heart stuff, John? Yeah. So it goes. Do you know, not one of those people, I think, would know that I'm a Christian. Here's a commitment today. I'm going to give out the coffee shop literature when I go to Video Easy, when I go to my pharmacist, or when I go up to the Baker's Delight, or when I go to Coles. I'm going to try to actually stand up and to look at these people as other human beings who are in desperate need of salvation. You know, Duncan said, I've got this treasure. And, hey, if I'm not going to share it, how can I say I believe in it? So that's my commitment for the evening. That's what the day's done for me. And I hope I'll stay with it. I'm sure I will. So that's just what I want to leave with you for what can I do. And I wanted to make it personal. Well, you know, when you read a phrase that says, what can I do, half the time it means, what can you do? But that's not what I want to discuss. I want to say, what can I do? It's small, but that's my commitment.
Those of you who get the Kellings messages, you might have noticed quite a while ago, well, a few months ago, we did an appeal for something called Operation Kellink, which didn't really get much of a response. The idea was that there's a huge amount of work to do, absolutely massive, and insofar as we're going to do the right thing in our own lives and as a community, etc., so God will work through us to call people. One doesn't like to make statistics, but all the same, there's a huge number of people, relatively speaking, being baptized. There's a huge amount of work to do caring for people. And we really need more people to get involved, laborers in the harvest. And this Operation Kellink idea was, I suppose, really aimed at younger people who may be taking a gap year, either between school and university or after their college is finished before they hit the workforce. It didn't really get many people coming forward, but it's not only for people like that. It could be for early retired people or people who have the opportunity to spend a couple of months or more than that in the field. And the idea was to try to get a group of people who would be willing to spend a few months and to organize a kind of program for them. Maybe we're barking up the wrong tree because hardly anybody seriously came forward. But on paper, anyway, it seemed to us a great idea. So if you know people who might even just possibly consider that, or if you might consider that, I mean, really the fields are white of the harvest, and we really do appreciate as many people as possible who can come forward. I mean, we're scratching around out in the Philippines, and fortunately got in touch with Mark, and I got to know Mark, and we were able to hand that over to Mark. So he's made a great job of it. There's all sorts of areas that can be dealt with in the same way, but we're short on the ground. And as many of you as possible who would like to at least try a couple of weeks somewhere to get the idea of it, the opportunities are absolutely very many. And as I think Cindy is making the point, and also on the handout that she gave, there's a whole stack of things that people can do. We've all got our talents that God's given us, and we can trade on those talents. And there's all sorts of ways that one can get involved. I mean, the world has changed. Internet has changed this world completely. And if you're online, there's a huge amount of things you can do from behind your computer. Absolutely huge amount of things that can be done. So if you feel, as John rightly said, and there's many avenues of Christian service, and we fully recognize that, but if you feel that you could do something in this area, do get in touch with Robin and Steve or John or Mark or whoever. And really, there's really ample work. And the nice thing about all this work that we feel the Lord's led us to is you can kind of see concrete and actual results. You actually see the baptisms happening, see real and relevant care being given to people and lives being transformed. I mean, it's the sort of translation between the effort put in and the work that comes out of it is really very clear. So really do invite your support in that way, or to pass it on to your grandkids or your relatives or whoever. And maybe finally, on behalf of Cindy and I, thank you all so much for your prayers, because often we feel very much someone's praying for us, or we may feel individually, someone's praying for me, many, many times, particularly when one is weak. I mean, spiritually weak or emotionally weak or just simply tired, and some catastrophe happens, and somehow God is really gracious to us. And then you think, someone out there is praying. And I'm sure it's probably some of you. So thank you for that.